Again, and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host again. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Doing business a couple decades plus, buying and selling all forms of gold and silver, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We even buy fancy Rolex watches. What else do we buy? We basically specialize in gold and silver coin collections. We do a lot of investment guidance, investment portfolio building. We kind of consider ourselves what I would call wealth and capital, precious metals experts, portfolio experts. We love and specialize in rare coins, collections, and we also offer the area region's highest rated privately held depository service, which really is a special place. Coins Plus is built from the ground up in a unique fashion, unlike anywhere else you'll go in the United States in this industry. We're a high volume, low margin dealer. Our motto is honesty, integrity, and professionalism in all every transaction. We're at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. If you're local, the phone number to remember is 444-0044. Toll free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN. One thing along the lines I just briefly touched on. We've been in business quite a while. We've been solid. It's been very important to me to be very, very solid. Above reproach, I suppose, however you want to call it, but with full integrity in every transaction. There is, it's kind of sad to speak about one's own industry this way, but there have been other companies, we'll say, that have not done so well and that have gone under, that have taken people's money with them, and there's been a number of them. One we contended with for years was called Northwest Territorial Mint out of Seattle. They were forever publishing online sell prices that were too low. When you run into a company that claims to be selling too low, it almost inevitably means that they're having a cash flow problem, which what they're doing is trying to get you to buy at a low price, hoping that one of two things will happen. They'll come up with the cash to pay and produce later, or that the market will come down and save them. But I can tell you, after years and years of this industry, I've seen this happen over and over and over again. And it's just, it's like everything else in life. You know, it's kind of like buying your wife a necklace at Tiffany's. You pay way too much, but you know what you're getting. And down the road, when you go to sell it, you have something special. And you, a lot of you may not know what I'm talking about, but even as a secondhand dealer selling stuff like on eBay and things like that, any piece of jewelry that's marked Tiffany's is more desirable. It's going to bring a premium. And that's what Coins Plus, I think, offers the clientele. Forgive me for the banging. My glasses keep hitting the microphone. I'll take them off. So essentially what the bottom line is that we've been here quite a while. We have tried to be impeccably above board, honest. We've had, you know, I hate to admit it, but, you know, countless opportunities to be unethical. We've always chose not to. We've always chose the road of pure ethics. We had at one time an employee who was absconding from me, that one time that I know of, and there were clients that were concerned that they may have gotten to their products. But I can tell you, the way our depository service is set up, that is not the case at all. That is not in any way really even accessible to the employees. It's a dual combination lock system. It takes two employees to open it up. Nobody's ever allowed in there unless they're accompanied by another person. Those of you who've been in there know that whenever you're in there, you get to have a little friendly face with you. In some cases, it might not be the most comfortable situation, but if you really need time to go through your box, we have a number of private areas starting next to the vault all the way to the conference room. And if you want to sell stuff out of there, if you're looking to liquidate a certain portion, you know, we're always willing to help you. I will tell you the same thing I've been telling you. We, according to everybody who's anybody, we are facing one of the wildest potential economic collapses we've ever faced in this country. We've got the market stretched to levels that make absolutely no sense whatsoever, okay? I mean, you've got to realize that this is very unique. This is a one of a once in a lifetime, at least in my lifetime, economic financial situation. You can go back to the crash of 29. I don't think that that was similar to what's going on today. And the reason that I say that is because, you know, they didn't have the electronics in place, the computers in place. I mean, you have to admit, folks, it really is impressive in kind of a creepy way how far we've come in just those 80 years, isn't it? When you add just all the technology and all that stuff, it's quite astounding. And as I mentioned in a previous show, we're still looking for a property. So keep praying for us. We need it. We've had a few that look like they were, you know, worthwhile and they haven't quite come together, but we need your help there. We, you know, honestly, what prayer is powerful stuff. The world gets changed by prayer. There's people that have the gift of prayer, the power of prayer. And they, I personally don't think they get a proper respect or glory or honor from the church. But I think that it's important that we respect those who are prayer warriors. You know, we are to pray incessantly, unceasingly. We are to never stop. And there's, you know, if you think about it, if somebody's praying all the time, do you even know they're praying? Or do they go and do they hide themselves, as the Bible says, in a closet somewhere and pray? Well, the truth of the matter is they go hide in a closet somewhere and pray. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, they say. That means mothers have a lot of power. And if you're a mother or a grandmother and you pray for your grandkids, I promise you, you're going to make a difference in things. Philippians, you know, tells us to not, and trust me, this doesn't come easy to me, but to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he talks about, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. It tells us to pray without ceasing. Likewise, it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. We've got to pray. Prayer is powerful, powerful stuff. No matter what you're going through in your life, whether you're dealing with your finances or whatnot, when it comes to the financial end of things, I, like I said, I've been doing some reading and research, which I've been known to do now and then, And I've got, here's an article here, October or August 17th, another epic economic collapse is coming. Okay, it's by George F. Will. This is written, you know, how many days ago? I don't know. In the last couple of weeks. He's, you know, the author and broadcaster, and he was, you know, they said he was a pessimist about tomorrow, but an optimist about the day after tomorrow. Regarding America's economy, prudent people should reverse that. This Wednesday, according to the Financial Times, Robin Wigglesworth and Nicole Bullock, the U.S. stock market will officially have enjoyed its longest ever bull run. Okay? So we are now facing the longest ever bull run in the stock market. Now, I remember when this was the case with gold. It had gone on for quite a while. And what goes up must come down. When things correct, that's when, you know, it's time to buy. Metals in general, like I talked to my employees the other day, I said, what should I be selling on the radio? And Mike said, you know, he said this, and then he said that. And then he came out and he said, you know, he said, with metals being so cheap right now, he said, I would just sell metals. I mean, I would just tell people to get in here and get yourself into metals. The bottom line is gold, silver, platinum, palladium, get yourself loaded up. Now, if you've got a 401k or an IRA or whatever, we can get you hooked up. You know, you've got gold at $1,200 an ounce. I mean, that is wow. And then silver, folks, I'm embarrassed to even say, silver's in the 1460 range. I mean, 1460? That is free lunch money right there. That, you know, we've got historical performance in the 20s and 30s, and it's God made it, it's ordained, it's authorized, it's his. We've discussed that in depth. It's important that we realize that it's the real deal and that we need it and that it is true wealth, it's true money, and you need it in your portfolio. The question is how much of it. I've always said only put the amount of money you cannot afford to lose into metals, okay? So that's sort of an ironic statement that's a little bit rough around the edges, but only what you can afford not to lose is what you want to put into the precious metals. And then from there, we can balance you out with some other semi-numismatic items. I've got a lot. I bought back a nice selection of uncirculated Morgans that, you know, honestly are priced to go. I think they're a good price. I think they're a great value, and they're money in the bank. They're off the grid. They're outside of the 1099 realm. You're not getting a bunch of silly paperwork on them and all kinds of capital gains reporting. You have what you have, and that's the way it works. So to keep it simple, folks, right now, if you wonder where to put your money, and I don't know how much money you have, and I don't know what you're thinking, you know, this or that, but I will tell you straight up, if I were you, I would be putting my money into metals without even batting an eye, without even thinking twice. In fact, when I look at some of these graphs, I'm going to look at a chart of silver. I am... You know, you see it go up, you see it go down. Looking at a 6-month graph of silver, we've got a dive, 1 year a dive. 5 years, just kind of a sort of a down year trend that is fairly steady. There's a few nice little spikes in there. I mean, where you take silver all the way from kind of where we are now, around 14 back up to $21 an ounce. Now, that might not sound like much, but that's a 50% gain. That's very realistic. If you go back 10 years, you've got silver tapping on the door of 50 bucks. So you can buy silver right now and be looking at a 350% gain, which I think is worth looking into. The downside, there is post 9/11, going all the way back to, let's see here, 09, silver, the cheapest silver's been in the last decade is where it is right now. You can't go wrong doing that. So if you've got a bunch of paper assets that are at the highest they've ever been in the last 10 years, to me, that's when you move that money around and you do yourself a favor. Gold is not dead. Silver is not dead. It never will be. There's people that always try to claim it is. If gold and silver are dead, then God is not honest because he tells us they will never die. He uses them as building products in heaven. He gave them as his first gift to his son on earth, Jesus Christ. He built Solomon's temple out of it. He blessed and bedecked the Israelites with gold and silver as they left Egypt. You know, we don't know the whole story, but what we do know is that precious metals have served as money throughout all of human history. So keep that, I always say that, keep that in mind. Realize that you're not putting yourself in a bad position by trying to secure your wealth in a sound vehicle. Now, when you get down this low, you definitely want to watch for profit, determine what's enough. Just to go back to the high of the last couple of years, you got a 50% gain roughly. To go back to the high of the last, I think, 7 or 8 years, you got a 350% gain. When you get into both of them, gold and silver, gold, you know, is $38 an ounce is what it was back at the turn of the century, and it is now, you know, up in the 12s. That has been a decent return on the money. Along the way, there's been a lot of other things that have done very well, a lot of numismatic coins and so forth and so on. So according to this guy, he says the U.S. stock market will officially have enjoyed its longest ever bull run, one that rose 20% from its low until it dropped 20% from its peak, and September 15th will be the 10th anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. So this coming September 10th, of 2011 is going to be a celebration or a reminder of the collapse of the Lehman Brothers, which very likely, I don't recall all the details, but it could very well likely have everything to do with what kicked off what became our supposed largest financial crisis in the history of this nation. So this bull run that we're talking about that rose 20% from its low until it dropped 20% from its peak, and then September 15th will be the 10th anniversary of the collapse of the Lehman Brothers, which is the fourth largest U.S. investment bank. To me, that's mind-boggling, folks. The history's largest bankruptcy filing presaged the October 2008 evaporation of almost $10 trillion in global market capitalization. So that money literally evaporated. That's what's mind-boggling. the durable market rise began March 6th of 09, and it was as intoxicating as the Lehman anniversary should be sobering, because the bottom line is nothing lasts. That's the point of this article. Nothing lasts, okay? God built us something that lasts. Nothing man-made lasts. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a house. I don't care if it's a car. I don't care what it is. Nothing lasts. Everything ultimately comes apart at the seams, right? Those who see no Lehman-like episode on the horizon did not understand the last Lehman episode. Economists debate inconclusively the question of does economic expansion die of old age, which is the current one that began in 09, or are they slain by big events or bad policies? So do bull markets eventually fizzle out and die and go away, or does it take a major catastrophic event to trigger them? I personally think that it takes a major catastrophic event. I really do. I believe that it would be the type of situation where once it starts moving, then you begin to see the effects of it. But if it just sits there, it's hard for me to believe that a market just sputters out and dies, although people get bored. I deal with that here, where people will have an investment coin and they'll read in their coin dealer newsletter or their gray sheet, which is, if you need one, they're full. But, they've got, if you need one, we can get you one. So, what's known is that all expansion ends. God has warned that he's coming down and to pull civilization over, essentially for speeding, for breaking the laws and breaking the rules. When he, or whoever he sends, decides that today's expansion, currently on its 111th month, approaches twice the 58-month, put it this way, when we approach twice the 58-month average length of post-1945 expansions, in other words, bull markets, we realize that it's gone on long enough. The contraction probably will begin with an annual budget deficit exceeding $1 trillion. People are looking right now hard. People I know with money are pulling out. They're looking for a safe haven. Unfortunately, all I can tell them right now is to go to gold and silver. It's safe, okay? I don't care which side of the fence you're on. Gold and silver is considered a safe haven. It's considered a place of safety, a place to go, to get away, to breathe, to be able to relax and, have somebody manage your money. Unfortunately, I'm not so sure how well they've done lately. And we just have to be wise about who we're using to manage our money, because they don't have a crystal ball to see into the future. And oftentimes, the thing that will get companies like commercial real estate is tenants that are not going to stay. And with the internet, we're seeing more and more people move to the internet. More and more commercial property is emptying out. And you'll start to see more and more of a Detroit or Flint, Michigan looking Great Falls as people begin to flock and vacate the city. When they decide, you know, that we're past where we need to be, you have to ask yourself, I mean, has this gone on long enough? The contraction probably will begin the annual budget deficit of $1 trillion. The president's Office of Management and Budget, and that there really is a meaningful budget getting actual management, which is a new concept, it projects that the deficit for fiscal year 2019, next year, which begins, they say here, fiscal year begins in 6 weeks, not the actual calendar year, but the fiscal year, begins now. This is a week-old article, so in 5 weeks, they predict that it will be a $1.085 trillion. This is while the economy is, according to economic historians in the Oval Office, as good as it's ever been. Okay, so you have got the largest deficit we've ever seen. You've got literal, everything is just teetering on some form of collapse. And we are being told that this is as good as it's ever been. And I can't disagree totally. So you got leavening administration euphoria with facts, and it goes on about, you know, the different growth rates that since the quarterly gross domestic product enumerated began in 1947, there have been 101 quarters with growth to at least equal to 4.1% in this year's second quarter. The fastest, 13.4%, was the 1950s fourth quarter, perhaps produced largely by bad news. The Cold War was on. The Korean War had begun in June, and fear of the atomic bomb was rising. New York City installed its first air raid siren in October, as was consequently a home building boom outside cities. You know, and people started to do what they call scare buying of products that might become scarce during World War III. Today, Schiller says it seems like the people of many countries may be accelerating their purchases of soybean, steel, and many other commodities, fearing future government intervention in the form of a trade war, and fearing the probable higher interest rates. So I'll kind of leave it at that. What that's basically saying is, we have had an economic boom for quite some time. It is not a stretch to expect that to recede or calm down. It's not a stretch. It's not unreasonable at all to believe that we are going to be moving back towards a calming, if you will, of the markets that will get you into a position where if you are heavily stretched in paper, and I don't know why it is that everybody always wants to tell me they're in the most conservative holdings, because if they work for the government, they don't understand the difference, and they think that one produces a steady rate of income, which it does not. And so you've got to be aware of that in whole. So the U.S. economy is in danger of overheating and exploding. I see another article, the latest signs of the bubble that will crush economic expansion. another one, the end really is near, a play-by-play for the coming economic collapse. I'm going to take a look at a couple of these and see what we got for layout as far as, you know, how in-depth these things are. This one's very similar to the one I just read. It's on U.S. News. We'll go down here. Let's see, the latest signs of the bubble. The biggest thing I don't like about Google now is you've got all this. Everything is pay-per-click. So you can't just look at a list of 10 items. You got to go through 10 pages. This is their new thing. You got to go page by page by page by page by page, because each time you do, they tell the advertiser that there was an impression on their ad, meaning somebody saw it. I will admit, I never look at ads. I throw them out. And so I'm not your standard typical guy at all. So when we look at the way Trump has been spending money, we have got to conclude that he is not an old school conservative or Republican, as most of us would consider ourselves to be, which is a little bit frustrating because he's a populist. He wants to be reelected. The media is forcing him into becoming a populist. It is kind of interesting that a populist would be viewed more as a conservative only because he ran on the conservative ticket. But he personally believes that, you know, he just believes in making things happen. I mean, the thing with Donald J. Trump is he does not take no for an answer. He does not see roadblocks. He sees minor obstructions. He sees road bumps. He does not see a way that things will not work out. So that's the personality trait that is primary in anybody who is successful in whatever they do, is that they will be absolutely, completely committed to success no matter what barrier is thrown at them. You know, so as I go on, I continue to look at this stuff, and I think probably what I should do is just dig out some of my own notes, which are pretty in-depth and quite extensive here, and I think probably of more value to you than a lot of the stuff. You know, I've got one here called Back to the Basics, and in my business, I'm privileged to discuss precious metals investing with people all day, every day. It's what I do. One distinct trend that I've detected over the last years is the trend or tendency of people, particularly investors, to become lethargic when precious metals retrace their gains. Okay, so when markets soften, people get lazy. Right? The most disappointing aspect of this lack of action on the investment public's part is that they are missing the best opportunities to purchase metals at a discounted level. Okay? So we've had gold, what, as high as 1900, just this year, nearly 1500, and, you know, and beginning, you know, to show signs of a retrace, upward strength. Silver recently rose above 18 and is now down in the 14s, and it's showing tremendous signs of upward mobility. You have to realize this is completely against all the pressure that is coming from the system. You watch the movie The Big Short, and it shows you literally the level of corruption that takes place in these companies what happens is you get, you know, there's certain people that take the fall for everybody, but in reality, there's a handful of people that are really making the decisions that lead to where we're going. You know, we've seen gold recently start playing again around $1,100. It didn't quite get that low, but frankly, it started to, you know, it started to work its way back. And the first thing that goes to my mind when I see this is time to buy. Time to buy. Its current level, sitting around $1,200, is beginning to show signs of upward mobility. Platinum and palladium have actually more than doubled in price. Hang on, let me put my glasses back on here. Let's see what we got here. Platinum and palladium are still well below their respective highs over the last few years. Platinum needs to gain another 50% to reach its high level, and palladium needs to double in order to approach its most recent high. 50% to reach its previous high level. Platinum and palladium needs to double to approach their most recent highs. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that opportunities abound in precious metals marketplace. The market is not done growing, and that the precious metals bull market is only ready. It's set to begin again, okay? We just discussed the stock market is at an all-time high. I mean, just exploding through the moon. Absolutely exploding through the moon. We've got a situation where it's on fire. So how long, I mean, do you watch that every day and think you're a day trader? And, you know, I don't know for sure what to tell you on that whole situation. Although I do believe that it's important to understand that you're facing a very unique time in history, and that precious metals always prevail. They always prevail. Just like a good friend of mine was saying to me today, truth always prevails. We had a situation with another business person who was speaking ill will towards another, and the friend of mine respectfully walked a very high road and just said, you know what, I'm going to let God sort it out. I'll let God deal with it. And he will. He definitely will. I'd like to go back to the basics. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, the fundamentals that are in place to such an extent that there's literally no reasons why the metals are not almost guaranteed to start and continue a climb for the next 3 to 5 years. What I'd like to do is use the show to take us back to the basics. Over the years of doing shows, I sort of migrate around from topic to topic and take for granted that people know more than they do about precious metals. So in no particular order, I'm going to touch on some basics that exist that make precious metals-based investments the only place that a sane, safe and wise person would or should put their money in this economy. I realize the dog and pony show that's put on by the paper establishment which is led by stockbrokers of this world, and it's never ending, and it'll continue to parade on what you must always ask yourself is why someone would continue to relentlessly and remorselessly try to convince people to make financial decisions that are essentially financial suicide. And you have to realize when the market is where it is, there's brokers that'll say, oh, no, there's still some good value out there. No, you just got to help find them. And let me be your eyes and ears, and I'll do it. And It's tough. So basically, I guess where we're at is, you know, Solomon put it very clear in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, okay? He said, money is the answer to everything. That seems pretty harsh and non-negotiable. I must admit that I don't fully understand the meaning or ramifications of his statement, but I think we need to listen to the advice of the man that God said was the wisest man to ever live before or after him. We all know that the excess wisdom did not serve Solomon well, but his wisdom is irrefutable and quite amazing. And the more we pay attention to Solomon's teachings, the wiser we become, and the more pain and suffering we're able to avoid. Okay? So that's the whole point of, you know, who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. Why? Really, to help us avoid big mistakes. So when he, you know, you're talking about God said the wisest man to ever live before or after, we know that that wisdom got him in a little bit of trouble, but the wiser we become and the more pain and suffering we're able to avoid. What did Solomon mean by the statement, money is the answer to everything? I would probably assume that it's safe to say the reason these paper peddlers, which is exactly what the brokers are in the stock market, folks, they're paper peddlers. I mean, they're out just trying to get you to give you their money and put it in any vehicle that they can send you a monthly statement. Once they got you locked in, you're done. You'll lose money. They'll apologize. They'll say they'll try harder next time. I've been there. I've done that. I've watched it. Okay? So I would assume that it's safe to say the reason these paper peddlers continue pushing people into worthless paper assets is because it's the only way that they can make money. They are not at liberty to sell precious metals, which are and have always been true, timeless, imperishable forms of currency and wealth. When you own precious metals, you own God's money. In Hebrew, there is no word for money, only the words for gold and silver. So, again, I'll say comments like, keep that in mind. Realize that when you own precious metals, you own money from God. God designed a wonderful outline for an economy that works without inflation over time. Okay, so when we live with inflation, it's baloney. God told us not to charge usury, and he guided us to use gold and silver as money. He created these elements completely unique of all other elements with amazing properties of stability and beauty and rarity, and he told us not to charge usury. In a biblical economy, only hard assets like precious metals, livestock, real estate, and the value of human work and life are used as currency. Because these items are limited in supply and will always be in demand, there will never be inflation. It is interesting to study the history of gold mining, only to realize there's remained only about 1 cubic centimeter, or about 3/4 of an ounce of gold for every man, woman, and child on earth from the very beginning. The amount of gold being mined seems to increase at about the same rate as the population growth of the earth, which is ironic, isn't it? God scattered gold throughout the earth in a perfect, perfect fashion so that it actually comes through to the needs of the current population of the earth. So one thing to keep in mind is we've got gold price fluctuations. Unfortunately, most mainstream financial journalists try to link the daily market action with the news of the day, as if the markets did nothing other than to react to the news. In general terms, they make the assumption that if a market fluctuation coincides with or follows a news event, then the news event must have caused the market fluctuation. This is a lazy and foolish methodology. It's not uncommon for journalists to cite the same event when attempting to explain a price rise one day and a price decline the next. And I've literally seen this where they'll use the same excuse 2 days in a row for, you know, one to describe an upward movement and one to describe a downward movement. So, you know, it's not quite that easy. You know, I can go through all kinds of different examples, and I'm not going to right now. I'm going to stay away from that for now. But basically what I'm going to do is go on and say, is get into a little more detail about precious metals and some of the details that, let me get this page to flip over for me here. There's so much information here. There's just, it's a little, this, it's, I guess I don't want to get too into the paper side of it, but I would prepare that, you know, there's, if, anytime you see metal start to move, you're going to see a tax on it, okay? So, basically, you're going to watch, you know, Misery Loves Company, Freedom Loves Company. For the record, here are the recent top 10 investment scams that I've been faced with. Leveraged exchange or ETFs, exchange traded funds. Just they use options and derivatives to promise far above average returns. Folks, in this stock market, however you want to slice it, don't go there. In fact, I'm going to try to bounce through this real quick so I can get some other stuff. Private placement offerings are unregistered investment contracts. Being unregistered, the investment advisor is not subject to any screening by securities regulators. It provides an attractive option for con artists as well as individuals barred from the securities industries and others bent on stealing money from investors through false and misleading representations. In a nutshell, here's the deal. As someone who's been Series 6 and 7 licensed, I can create all kinds of scams. I can take you for a ton. I could make up all kinds of investment scandals that were designed to blow up, take your money. I could walk away and leave you hanging, okay? Be aware, please. If it's not a traditional, smart, easy, wise way, it is, you know, if it seems too good to be true, it is. We'll leave it at that. We got entertainment investments. We've got Ponzi schemes. We know all about that. Where they, you know, they pay the early investor to keep, you know, to keep them coming back. We've got short-term promissory notes, gold bullion, and currency scams. People been buying into this Iraqi dinar mess for decades. Folks, if you got a bunch of Iraqi dinars, they're not worth money. They never will be worth money. I'm sorry, give them up. Flush them down the toilet. Start a fire with them. Whatever. There's no hope for them. Life insurance settlements. I've seen people buying into that. Natural resources investments and so on and so forth. And I just would definitely stay away from those as much as you can. Please be wise and just avoid that. Man, do I got a lot of information here. Let's do this. Here we got some interesting stuff we can touch on. Sorry to be bouncing around. I've been busy with a lot of other stuff, and it's been a little bit crazy. Okay, let's look at some of the basics or fundamentals of precious metals as a solid haven for wealth and capital preservation in the events that seem inevitable in our future. Okay, so I am coming from the perspective that a collapse is inevitable. Okay, it is inevitable. We've had a huge run-up in the financial markets. Everyone agrees. Everyone knows. No one disagrees. You can talk to the finest and the most powerful brokers there are. They give you one of two answers. One is unrealistic. They think it can go forever. Everyone knows that's not the case. Two is they think, oh, you can outsmart it. You can buy certain stocks and move around and do all this. Again, outsmarting it. We cannot outsmart the market. Can we agree on that? That we basically want to invest in such a way that we glorify God, that we obey what he tells us to do financially. We've talked in the past recently. I discussed all of the divine aspects of precious metals, that they're created by God, not man, and that they will hold their own. So here's some basics about precious metals, okay? There is a timeless performance and acceptance. That means they've always been worth money, and they've always been acceptable to people out there, okay? They're timeless. They're not going away. They never have, never will. When you get to coins, coins are the same way. I don't care if they're Greek or Roman or Byzantine or Babylonian, in fact, Egyptian, whatever. Collectability remains. It never loses its value. Shocking, but true. Okay, so please accept that as a fact. It is a fact. Okay, so you can come in, load yourself up with precious metals, and once you are gold rich, you as I've been told by two people, one was Chinese and one was from India, both said, once you are gold rich, you are always rich, okay? Once you have, you know, another friend of mine said to me the other night, he said, I've never heard of anybody being buried in gold, okay? It's that simple. You just don't have to worry. Now, folks, a lot of you who have paper, you better prepare for a big bath. I've been there. I've done it. I've taken it. It's coming. Prepare. I don't care how conservative you think it is. It is coming. Am I a doom and gloomer? I don't think so. I just think it's obvious. We've got the longest bull market in history on the financial side. We had the longest bull market in metals. Metals are dirt cheap. That's where I'm putting a substantial portion of my money right now. I just sold off a very substantial amount of real estate. I have a tremendous amount of liquid capital that is a little bit annoying to have, but I have it. Precious metals is the answer. That's where I want to see you go. You build portfolios. Will I buy rare coins? Absolutely. How will I choose them? Based on you know, historical performance, et cetera, et cetera. Number two, precious metals are imperishable. They're not, they you know, they're an imperishable commodity is something that it doesn't fall apart. It doesn't rot. It isn't corn. It doesn't go bad. It's real. It's hard. God made it a certain way. It lasts forever on earth. It's incredible. It's beautiful and so on. It's universally acceptable. Folks, what else is there that's universally acceptable and transportable and liquid that you can put in your pocket, go anywhere at any time, and liquidate and sell? What else is there? What else is there? Think about it. You've got no other options like it. There's nothing else like precious metals that is absolutely liquid anytime, anywhere, and universally accepted, okay? So accept that. It's a fact, okay? It just, there's nothing like it. Why would you want anything else? And God said it is money. He endorsed it. Everything God said is, okay? It maintains its spending power throughout all human history. It's always maintained and or exceeded what it could have purchased in previous generations. There's no exception. It is what it is. It cannot be made by man. Man is innately greedy and sinful, and have they, when allowed to create their own currency, it's inevitable that they begin to create far more money than could be taxed, earned, or paid back, right? It's fiat currency. They go crazy when they make it. Consider what we've done with our currency system. The Bible and God make gold and silver real money. It's been theorized and studied that man possesses an innate desire to accept, desire, and own precious metals. The corrupt bankers first create a system of deposits where gold is replaced by a piece of paper that promises the existence of a deposit of gold. Next, the corrupt bankers begin to issue an amount of paper money that far exceeds the gold, far exceeds on deposit, and we begin the fractional reserve system. It was discovered most recently in the 1700s that a depositor only needs to keep 10% precious metals in reserve, as the holders of the paper never seem to redeem more than a maximum of 10% at any given time. So the bankers began and continue today to issue 10%, or I'm sorry, 10 times the amount of paper money as they have deposits. In today's case, the deposits are just more fiat currency. In the days of old, when we were on a true gold standard, the corrupt bankers eventually convinced the governments to, quote, trust them to issue currency backed by gold on deposit. Okay, we'll leave it at that. There's a lot more I could go on. There's a lot of information I'd like to cover there, and maybe I'll do it on Monday. Boy, I've got a lot of information there. Oh, boy. That one goes on and on and on. It goes into detail of how they fooled us and got the Federal Reserve Act pushed through. It talks about, the human mind and heart was created to understand the worth and value of a hard asset, and especially in commodities like gold or silver, where you can imagine that bankers and politicians couldn't tell a man with five $20 gold pieces they were required to give up two of those five $20 gold pieces as a tax. So the citizens would know better. Notice I call them citizens and not taxpayers, because the income tax did not make U.S. citizens into taxpayers until 1913 and beyond. The real challenge for bankers and politicians was to find a way to confiscate the real wealth of the nation's citizens, which was constitutionally protected wealth of gold and silver. So there's a lot more I could go into. I'm out of time again. Imagine that. Folks, the bottom line is make your own gold standard. Okay, that's it. It's that simple. Make your own gold standard. You still have the ability today to make your own gold standard. Call Coins Plus 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. Let us get you hooked up. We'll take care of you. Take care. God bless. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.